Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. I take your questions here on Ask Me Anything episode. Should we get behind Caitlyn Jenner for governor? What are my thoughts on that? What is really driving the left in this country? Who killed Ashley Babbitt? That and so much more. Email us your thoughts. This Ask Me Anything episode. If you want to support our program and if you like what we are saying and you want to reach more young people and you just say to myself, I can't take this anymore. I want to be part of a movement to help save the country. Well, you can do that at charliekirk.com/support. If you want to come to our Young Women's Leadership Summit in Dallas, Texas, in June, go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. If you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Okay, I'm getting lots of questions about Bruce Jenner, who is running for office. I actually have met Caitlin, Bruce, whatever. Very nice person, I have to say. And people are saying, well, Charlie, what do you think about, you know, Caitlin, Bruce running for office? I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of someone who is currently suffering, and I use that word intentionally, suffering from gender dysphoria being in the Republican Party. And that's not to say that we have to be a jerk about it. That's not to say we can't have compassion and dialogue. In fact, I'd be happy to have Caitlin Bruce on this program and talk about it. In fact, I've actually been talking to someone on their team about that. But I'm going to be very clear that I believe that there are two genders, and I believe transgenderism is not something that should be widely accepted as if it's a lifestyle. I think that if you are suffering from gender dysphoria, I really hope you seek healing and help. I do not think you should be a leader of our party, especially the governor of California. And this is a tough question for some people because they don't want to be called intolerant or mean names. I really don't care. I don't. And I'm going to tell you very clearly that if the Republican Party is not going to stand for original design, then what are we going to stand for? God gave you chromosomes. And if you don't believe in God, someone gave you chromosomes. The luck of the draw, I guess the craps table did, XX and XY. And I believe anyone who's in a position of authority and leadership that plays into this gender dysphoria, I can choose my own identity against scientific design, I think the Republican Party exists to stand in opposition to that. And the Republican Party should say, no, we actually take great exception to this idea of it. Again, I think it's how we communicate it. We don't have to be a jerk. I think that Caitlin's a nice enough person. Okay. However, we're talking about someone who is running for political office. And when that person runs for political office, it is a question of, does that person share my values? Is that person going to fight when it matters? And some people say, well, it's California. What difference does that make? Okay, look, it's a state with like 42 million people. I think you can find another candidate. And so people ask all the time, well, Charlie, where do we draw the line? This is me drawing the line. I am drawing the line and saying that a transgender person should not be running for office in the Republican Party. Shouldn't be happening. Not going to get my support. And for a variety of different reasons. And as we are seeing a continual moral decline in America, where children are being preyed upon for chemical castration, at this point, I say no more. So anyway, I'm sure that's going to get written up all over the place. And I'd love to discuss that with all of you. I'd love to get your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, and be happy to discuss that with Bruce Caitlin Bruce. The transgender issue is not one to take lightly. And I don't. Okay, let's get to the next question here. Hey, Charlie, I found your show today. It's interesting how the people behind movements such as BLM even deceive their own followers and through everyone else. I found it fascinating how you have unraveled the theory that the swamp want a national police force. I live in the United Kingdom, and I find it so sad to see how the United States seems to follow every bad move, idea, or institution that the United Kingdom makes. For example, we've had a border crisis ever since Germany have let in 2 million migrants. Now America has a border crisis. It's illegal to have any self-defense weapon in the United Kingdom. The United States is trying to make this happen as well. We have an infiltrated justice system with no due process, no just courts, and America seems to be headed down the same route. Continues to go on. Thank you, Zach, so much. Look, the attack on the rule of law is fundamental. We must have agreed upon laws. The more voluminous the laws, the quicker we're going to get into anarcho-tyranny. Cut 104. You see, Ilhan Omar, I just want you to hear this for yourself, and we're going to walk through this together. Play Ilhan Omar.
Most of us in this room, including myself, look at you as a guardian and are blessed to be in your presence. And may Dante Wright serve as a guardian for all of us.
So that's Ilhan Omar saying that Dante Wright is a guardian for all of us. The man who had a warrant out for his arrest. Is that correct? Can I say that, Connor? Warrant out for his arrest? What was it for? It was for a weapons charge? I got this technically incorrect in a Facebook video I did. And they're like, oh, no, it wasn't for aggravated robbery. It was for a warrant. I mean, give me a break, okay? The guy was a criminal. Resisted arrest. And Ilhan Omar is saying, well, we must almost eulogize him is basically what she's doing. The attack on the rule of law is fundamental to the end of civil society. It is. If we do not have agreed upon public laws, then we will get to a place where Cicero warned us, the more laws, the less justice. The more laws, the less likely we will be able to have a civil and decent society, because then all that will matter is who's enforcing them. That's all that's going to matter. It's not going to matter what the laws actually are. It's going to matter who are the ones that get to decide which ones actually get to be enforced. Hey, Charlie, I just wanted to say that I appreciate all you've done for college students. I go to a public college in California. I have to remain silent about my political views for my own safety. I discovered you last year in January, and your videos of you roasting idiots have been such a joy to watch. I constantly feel like California is so bad and so corrupt that we are beyond help, and it makes me nervous. I do feel like there are many pockets of closet conservatives throughout the state, but the overwhelming corruption dictatorship of Gavin Newsom has really made me panic. What can you say about the recall, and what can you say about the hope of California pulling out its communist regime? Well, that is similar to the other question I asked. Look, I love the fact that California conservatives are playing offense. I'm a big believer that if we do not play offense against the left at this time, the country is going to be lost. That every Californian listening to this has to get involved in the recall race in one way or the other. Whether it be knocking on doors or mobilizing other people towards this, that Gavin Newsom is worried. Gavin Newsom is nervous that he might lose a recall effort. That we need an aggressive, grassroots, robust push politically and peacefully, obviously, to try and hold our leaders accountable. Isn't it a positive thing that we have a recall mechanism at all? It's a positive thing that people are able to step up, collect signatures peacefully, and hold someone in a position of power accountable. That is a healthy thing for a republic. It's healthy to be able to have elections, to be able to have a check and a balance. What makes our system different is this idea of the consent of the governed, is that if that promise, if that compact is broken and it's shattered, then what good is our government? We deserve better than the leaders we have in charge in both parties. I think we all agree with that. California is the worst of it. The lockdowns in California have played a dramatic toll on the humanity and the soul and the spirit of our country and our nation. So Gavin Newsom has to pay a political price for that. Gavin Newsom has to pay a political price for what he has done for business owners and families in the state of California. And that is why I'm so encouraged and hopeful at this robust, organic grassroots push to hold Gavin Newsom accountable. I love all of it. And I don't know if it'll succeed or not, but it's actually not about winning. It's about building the movement and getting these ideas out there.
Did you know that 80% of the grass-fed beef sold in the United States is imported from overseas? It's staggering. That's why I get my meat from GoodRanchers.com, because their product is 100% American. When you buy your steak and chicken from Good Ranchers, not only are you getting amazing meat, but you're also supporting American farms. My friends at Good Ranchers have traveled the United States and met with actual farmers that raise the livestock to ensure the product they are sending to your table is the very best. All the product is individually wrapped and it eliminates waste. GoodRanchers.com safely delivers American craft beef, better than organic chicken, right to your door. Buy one time, or better yet, subscribe. Check out the Family Fest Bundle. If you subscribe, you will save 20% with each purchase. Subscribing brings the cost per meal down to just $2.38 per meal. That includes steak, chicken, and more. Stop trying to play the grocery store guessing game. Know where your meat comes from with GoodRanchers.com. Support American farmers. Go to GoodRanchers.com to get $20 off and free express shipping. 100% American beef and chicken. Chicken is always 100% all natural. No antibiotics ever, no hormones added ever. Better than organic, individually wrapped, vacuum sealed, and ready to go. And don't forget, you always get free express shipping. Safe and convenient way to shop. Go to goodranchers.com/Charlie. GoodRanchersNS.com/Charlie.
We just got a question from David. And by the way, if I take your question, you win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. So email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. He says, I don't know if you are allowed to, but I wish you would look into the Capitol police officer who shot and killed the protester on January 6th. I'm hearing a lot of things about him. I don't know if it's true, but I think you could find out. I don't know anything about him. Who killed Ashley Babbitt? Who killed Ashley Babbitt? Anyone? Bueller? You had Ashley Babbitt, who was a veteran from California, who was in the Capitol building. She shouldn't have been there. That does not mean she should have been shot. Who, according to the only video we have, she popped her head up and then bang. An inexcusable discharge of a weapon. And again, we do not have a position here on this program to always defend police officers. That is not our position. There are some bad police officers out there. In fact, almost all police officers want the bad ones removed because they give them a bad name. In fact, producer Andrew sent us a video of a really bad police officer recently. And so the question is, why do we have this very public anti-police conversation happening in our country? Yet the left was perfectly fine with Ashley Babbitt getting killed. Like all incidents, I try to look into the facts and the circumstances of the matter. But she was actually unarmed. She wasn't knife-wielding attempted murderer. She wasn't fleeing arrest like Dante Wright. So we need some answers here. And it's been announced that the police officer is not going to face any charges. That's a little weird. But at least, who did it? We know the name of every police officer that has done anything in like 24 hours or less. But this goes to my thesis that I articulated in a previous episode. They want a national police force. If Ilhan Omar and Ayanna Pressley actually cared about police abuse, they'd speak out against the murder, the death of Ashley Babbitt. But instead, they're quiet because the police acted on their behalf in that situation. Let's get to the next question here. Hey, Charlie, I've emailed you a few times before, but in case you didn't see it, I'm almost 21 years old and I'm marrying my wonderful fiance in July. Awesome. We listen to you all the time and love your show. I'll send you two books as a wedding gift from the Charlie Kirk Show. Getting married is a good thing. We're excited to raise a family in the future and we're strongly considering homeschooling. Good. We're a bit anxious about the future of the freedom of homeschool be when we are ready. How do you think parents should approach education? And do you think there could ever be some sort of a ban on non-public education? No one will ever teach our children that they're racist just for existing, and we want our children to be wise. You guys are going to be great parents. Thanks for everything you do. I am still able to access your podcast. Proof attached of my subscription, Land and Sea. So how do you teach wisdom to children? It's a great question. You teach wisdom to children by getting them to think And remember, wisdom is the knowledge of things that never change. There are two types of knowledge. There's practical knowledge and eternal knowledge. Practical knowledge is what's the capital of Ohio? Who's the governor of Indiana? Eternal knowledge is how human beings act. It's the laws of nature and of nature's God. Eternal knowledge is the knowledge of the world around us. That knowledge is much more important than practical knowledge. One of the reasons why our colleges have become so devoid of wisdom is because they do not focus on eternal knowledge, because they actually don't think that there are things that never change. They think that everything can change. They think just like how we can get a new governor of Indiana, we can change the way human beings operate and work and act. They believe human behavior is malleable. We believe human behavior and human nature is constant. We believe that you must build good people and create good people through developing character, which comes from the Greek word tattoo or imprint or tattooed within you. And then it takes a lot of practice, which comes from a Greek word praxis, which is the act of doing something good for the betterment of your soul and your spirit. The fact you're even exploring these ideas is very important. So how do you do that? Homeschooling, if you can do it, is the best way. It really is. We need to double our homeschooling population in our country quickly. Private school, if you can afford it. I went to public school. I ended up okay, but I had really good mentors in my local area, and I was also trying to pursue wisdom. But government-run schools are becoming an untenable option very quickly in our country. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com.
So have you ever browsed in incognito mode? It's probably not as incognito as you think. And why would it be? Incognito mode, like the Chrome browser itself, is a Google product. And Google has made its fortune by tracking your movements online. There's even a $5 billion class action lawsuit against the company in California, where it's accused of secretly collecting user data. Google's defense, incognito does not mean invisible. So how do you actually make yourself as invisible as possible online? ExpressVPN. Turns out that even in incognito mode, your online activity still gets tracked. And data brokers still get to buy and sell your data. One of these data points is in your IP address. Data harvesters use your IP to uniquely identify you and your location. But with ExpressVPN, your connection gets rerouted through an encrypted server and your IP address is masked. Every time you connect to ExpressVPN, you get a random IP address shared by other ExpressVPN customers that makes it harder for third parties to identify you or harvest your data. Best of all, ExpressVPN is super easy to use no matter what device you're on, phone, laptop, or smart TV. All you have to do is tap one button for instant protection. So if you really want to go incognito and protect your privacy, secure yourself with the number one rated VPN. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. That's ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie.
Just dealing with this nonsense of all these events that might be canceled in a certain state because 700 terrorists are threatening to show up because I want to go speak at a church about liberty. No, this is actually what's happening right now. So I'm dealing with this nonsense right now. It's where we're at right now. Human behavior, public gatherings, jury verdicts are now all in the hands of street thugs, terrorists that get what they want. That's where we're at. So I might not go visit a certain state in the Pacific Northwest, because both of the events are being threatened by 700 or 800 terrorists. The church that I was going to speak at are very worried because they've had their houses vandalized and people followed through the streets, and the police do not have the capacity to defend the church, and the National Guard is not going to get called in. The governor is unwilling to do that, so the event might get canceled. How can you be free if you don't have public safety? It's a really interesting question, isn't it? How can I have the right to speak if the host of who's going to have me is afraid that their church is going to burn down? It's something to think about. Okay, let's get right here. Kevin, congratulations. You won a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. Hey, Charlie, I'm a regular listener to your show. When are you going to speak about what's going on in Arizona? The forensic hand audit is happening on 2 million ballots. We have to fix elections. Would you say this is a start? Okay, here's what's happening. The audit that's happening in Arizona is a full hand count of 2.1 million ballots cast in the November 2020 general election, along with an analysis of voter information and an audit of the county's voting technology. It started this week and will culminate with a report to be issued in about 60 days. In all, the county will provide nearly 2.1 million ballots and 385 ballot tabulators and 9 larger central count ballot tabulators, along with other hardware. That's in addition to 11 gigabytes of data that include various information and documents such as voter registration information and election day logs. Part one, the hand recount. The Senate plans to hand count certain votes on 2.1 million ballots cast in the election. Votes for all 10 federal races, including the presidential, Senate, and 8 congressional contests, will be examined. The work is being done by Wake Technology Services, which has hired staff to do the actual counting of ballots. The hand count, which was originally scheduled to begin on Thursday, and Cyber Ninjas has estimated will take 20 days. More details of the procedures for the hand count should be released Thursday night. It is unclear how many people Wake will hire to do this work. Election audit experts have said that hand counting this many races on this many ballots will take longer than 20 days if it's done right. Observers are allowed, but the Senate has said it will make sure that there is equal representation from all political parties. The auditors will attempt to validate the legitimacy of voter rolls. Not much information was released about how this will happen. So who's doing this? It's unclear. Cyber Ninja's report says that it will be done by a, quote, registration and vote cast system team that has been done nonpartisan canvassing before. A grassroots group organized by Liz Harris, who I know, she's a good person, may have already completed this work. They have knocked on doors for months in Arizona to attempt to verify voter information. This will happen. It will take about 20 days. And the report states that auditors will use the information to find invalid voters, such as deceased voters and non-citizens, and find people whose votes weren't counted. It's unclear where the Senate will get its information to verify that voters from. Part three is reviewing electronic voting systems. The auditors plan to examine the county's voting machines and review logs and systems files to see whether the machines were manipulated or hacked during the election. This is something that the county's independent audit report already did and found that the machines were not tampered with. CYFIR, a digital security company based in Ashburn, Virginia, was hired for part of this audit. The analysis work will be performed by Cyber Ninjas, an additional number of analysts, according to Cyber Ninjas' report. This part would include imaging more than 1,800 voter check-in systems and more than 350 vote tabulation machines and other election hardware. So I want to commend Arizona Senate and the legislature. They made real movement on this. So do you know how that I know that this is a good thing that they're doing? The Arizona Democrats have immediately filed a lawsuit to block this from happening. Why are the Arizona Democrats so worried about this investigation? Why are the Arizona Democrats so nervous about trying to audit ballots? Shouldn't they be supportive about this so they can celebrate their victory in Arizona? Aren't they excited to show how strong our election systems are? Why are they so nervous? Why are Democrats in the media so upset? Rachel Maddow dedicated the top of her show to this yesterday. Rachel Maddow said that Arizona Republicans are engaging in endless conspiracy theories, that Arizona Republicans are trying to find something where it doesn't exist. Well, Rachel Maddow, you should be supportive of this. So then you should be able to say, look at all the money, time, and energy you wasted, Republicans. But you're trying to fight it. Why? It's really not that extra cost. Government does dumb things all the time and meaningless things. If this was dumb and meaningless, it's not exactly like that would be a new development in government work. It's actually a pretty good use of time, I would argue. So the Senate plans to hand count 2.1 million ballots and also check whether or not they were deceased voters or non-citizen voters. That's an awesome use of time and energy because a lot of people in Arizona, myself included, feel as if there was something wrong with the process from voter registration to vote tabulation to possibly the machines. Something went wrong. We want answers. And just the incantation of voter fraud doesn't exist. Sit down and obey. Voter fraud doesn't exist. Sit down and obey. Is not at all satisfying to those of us that know that Arizona did not have a properly run election system. Let's get to a question here. Charlie, I love the show. I've learned more from you this last year. Thank you for continuing to educate us and sharing your Christian values. Although my son still has to wear a mask in school in Texas, we're starting to see districts lift this mandate. Eustis has a population about 1,000 in East Texas, about an hour away from where we live. Keep up the good work. I've attached a screenshot. don't know if that's a question, but it says, "Dear Parents Guardians, I hope that this email finds you. I wanted to let you know tonight the EISD Board of Trustees voted to eliminate the mandatory mask requirements." Awesome. Masks may still be worn on a voluntary basis by anyone. If you have any questions, let me know. Good. Thank you for emailing me that, and thank you for the kind words. Happy to send you a book. Let's get to this here. "Hi, Charlie. New Hampshire finally lifted the mask mandate." Good. "However, a large number of private businesses are still required to wear masks. It is technically legal for private businesses to still require mask mandates, even if it's not mandated at a state level." Yes. Private businesses can do as they wish. However, it could be a violation of a HIPAA requirement, which is something that I do not think that there's been enough legal work done on mandating a mask, where a mask actually might hurt someone's medical condition. Interestingly enough, New Hampshire should have been the first state to lift their mask requirement, because I'm not mistaken, Connor, check me, the motto of New Hampshire is live free or die. I think it's that is the motto of New Hampshire. So the fact that they had a mask mandate at all, live free and die, put on your mask. Live free and die, make sure you wear a mask. Little bit contradictory. Okay, let's get to the next question here. Congratulations, you get a signed copy of a MAGA doctrine. Right here, Joseph. "Hi, Charlie. I'm 15 years old and a website developer. I'm a conservative Christian and terrified of tech censorship." You should be. "So with knowledge that my parents bestowed upon me, I'm making an alternative to the website, the streaming website, Twitch." Good for you. "I'm putting hours of time into something that shouldn't be made. Am I putting hours and hours of time into something that shouldn't be made, or is it a good thing to have a Christian-owned alternative to Amazon's silencing machine?" Did Amazon own Twitch? Is that right? "Thank you and God bless from Southeast Iowa." Yes, you should go create new stuff. Even if you're not successful, you'll learn a lot about yourself. You'll develop work ethic. You'll stay focused on a unified purpose. We need conservatives to build their own stuff. So I want to thank you, Joseph, for that. And thank you for listening. That is terrific. "Hi, Charlie. My son is 10 and just started practicing with his Little League team. I asked him how practice was and if everyone on his team was friendly. He said yes, but he caught me off guard with his next response. He mentioned that one of the boys on his team was wearing a mask that said Black Lives Matter. After we talked a little bit about it, my son took offense to it and felt like his life didn't matter to this boy. I'm having a real hard time explaining him to all this. I asked my son if this boy is nice to him and if he's respectful to teammate. My son said yes. I said, all lives matter as long as he's a good person. That's what matters. I'd like to discuss this more with him, but I'd like your thoughts on how to proceed with this conversation, Rachel." First of all, thank you for listening. Do you guys understand what's happening here? This hyper-racialization of our rhetoric and our language is so destructive to young children. Children are so confused by this because they are not looking at overly racializing our country. They're not. You see, children are in an exploratory phase between the ages of 3 and 13, and then they get into a developmental phase. And they still are developmental, but when they get in the adolescent phase, it's less about exploration and more about actually trying to find out their proper place in the world. I guess that's still exploration, but the point is that when they're 8, 9, and 10 years old, there's a high level of curiosity about the world. They're trying to make sense. Children ask the best questions, by the way. I think his name was Piaget, who was the child psychologist. He was big into games, and he studied children, and he said there's sometimes more wisdom out of young children than, I think it's Piaget. You can look it up. It was a French guy who was a child psychologist. Really interesting stuff. I read a bunch of him like a year and a half ago. But this idea that we now need to micromanage children into highly divisive racial rhetoric is bad for the nation. It's bad for the children. And you see that right here where he's wondering why this person is wearing a Black Lives Matter mask, saying, well, does that mean my life doesn't matter? There are going to be so many pieces of collateral damage that we will never be able to measure because of what this racial reckoning has done. And yes, it's Jean Piaget, and Connor said in our group text, where do you come up with this stuff? LOL. I read 2 hours a day and study, and eventually something useful gets mentioned here on the Charlie Kirk Show. Jean Piaget, the famous child psychologist. I went on a whole deep dive on child psychology a year and a half ago. I was fascinated by it. And I'm actually going to explain that. It's super interesting. Because I was actually wondering, are human beings tabula rosa? Which means blank slate. Aristotle talked about this originally. John Locke wrote about it extensively, which is his belief that human beings are a blank slate without rules for processing information or data. and that your sensory experiences form your worldview. Now, Jean Piaget, who again, like a year and a half ago, I read all about this guy. He's super interesting. He studied children, which is always something that I've found from a developmental psychology standpoint very interesting. And he realized that children, in their process of intellectual development and roots of knowledge, they are not mini adults. They're actually categorically different than adults. And that, again, I didn't agree with all of his conclusions. I'm happy to go through that in a different podcast. But he suggested that people are actively constructing their knowledge on the world based on their interactions between their ideas and their experiences. And so, are we born with a blank slate? It's a very interesting question, and I'm not sure the proper way to answer it because it's not a yes or no answer. But let me give you an example. And Cut 81 is an example of someone that was not born this ignorant. This person was nurtured amongst foolishness, was brought up around it, was led forth into the abyss of garbage. She dwells in that land. She has become the queen of nonsense, elevated to a position on the hierarchy beyond anything that we can ever touch. I give you the patron saint of the world is ending. Cut 81.
You still have time to do the right thing and to save your legacies. But that window of time is not going to last for long. What happens then? We, the young people, are the ones who are going to write about you in the history books. We are the ones who get to decide how you will be remembered. So my advice for you is to choose wisely.
Now, if you thought you were watching or listening to something from The Hunger Games, you're half right. It sounds like a threat. It sounds like an extortion attempt. Now, remember, in Rousseauian philosophy, they view the primitive over the civilized, the infant over the adult, and the adulterous lover over the loyal spouse. But I'm reminded by a passage from Orwell's 1984. Tragically, parents actually fear their own children because they know that their children's loyalties lie with Big Brother. Now, they should even suspect that their parents of deviation from their strict codes of behavior mandated by the government that they will not hesitate to turn them in. We have a whole society of people that are afraid of Greta Thunberg. I want you to listen to what she said. That window of time is not going to last. We're going to write the history books. Now, this is so out of 1984. You understand one of the main theses of 1984 is rewriting history and putting a small group of very angry people in charge of what's written. So basically, Greta's like this. Look, if you want to be remembered nicely, you better do what I tell you to do. Now, do I think Greta Thunberg was born with this mountain of garbage? No. I think that her parents, the people around her, she's Swedish, right? Is she Swedish or is it – she's Swedish? I think that's right. Yeah. What a beautiful country that has just produced an awful human being, honestly. And I feel bad for her. She's a teenager. She really doesn't know what she's doing. But at this point, she's getting to a level where she is saying, choose wisely. Huh. What if we don't? Are you going to erase us from the history books? You're going to call the Ministry of Truth? That's basically what she's saying. Do you know what you call a Christian who thinks the world is ending? A religious fanatic. You know what you call a secular person who thinks the world is ending? An environmentalist. Think about that. I want to thank you guys for emailing us your thoughts and questions. freedom@charliekirk.com. Check out charliekirk.com for all the latest news and information. I love hearing from you, what you're reading, what you're feeling, what you're on top of, your thoughts and your feedback. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.